The New York Giants are laying a solid foundation for the future. Today, we're going to take a look at some of the staples, and we're also going to take a look at some of the things they still need to improve on the Locked On Giants podcast coming your way next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Chena, and today's episode of the Locked On Giants podcast is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNFL. On today's Locked On Giants podcast, we're going to talk about how the Giants have gone about building the foundation for this team. The Giants 3-1 after the first month of the season. I've identified four things that the Giants have done to start building the foundation, putting it in place. And then we're going to close out by talking about some things from a statistical perspective the Giants need to really improve moving forward. But the four things that I have as far as the foundation goes, these are more big picture things, whereas the statistic things are more, you know, smaller picture for this year, but they could apply for a bigger picture next year. So let's hop right into everything and kick things off with item number one. One of the things the Giants have done towards building a stronger foundation is they are beating who they should beat, as opposed to beating themselves. Now, go back and think over the last few years, how many times did the Giants beat themselves? How many times did they go up against an opponent that theoretically they should have beaten and beaten handily, but they just weren't able to get the job done? Well, this year, that is not the case. The Giants were, you know, by most accounts, the Giants should have beaten Carolina and Chicago, two of the quote-unquote lesser teams on their schedule, and they did just that. They beat Carolina by 3 points and Chicago by 8. Now, let's look at those two wins a little closer. In the Carolina game, the Giants, we talk about them not beating themselves, 0 turnovers, all right? So they played mistake-free ball as far as turnovers go. The Giants also dominated the time of possession, 35-57 to 24-08. Not bad. So that game, you know, a perfect example of the Giants not beating themselves. Yes, it was a close game, but in the end, the Giants prevailed. Now, in the Chicago game, the Giants won that game by 8 points. They did have an interception. They also had one lost fumble of the two fumbles that they had. But again, they won the time of possession, 31-17 to 28-43. And if we look at some of the other key statistics, they had 333 net yards. They converted 42.9% of their third down attempts to the Bears, 33.3%. And basically, you know, give credit to the defense as well. The defense played lights out with in both games. So those were two games that the Giants had to win. They were supposed to win, and they did by not beating themselves. Now, you can look at the Tennessee game, which was a game that I think a lot of people didn't think the Giants were going to win. And theoretically, you could say, okay, you know, if Randy Bullock, you know, makes that field goal at the end, the Giants don't win that game. Yes, but here's the thing. The Giants kept it close. And that brings me into point number two for this foundation that the Giants are building, is that they have been competitive against the teams that maybe they're not supposed to be. I mentioned the Titans, who they beat by 1 point. And even Dallas, who, you know, even though the Giants were favored going into that game, Dallas is just a little bit better of a team at this point. And the Giants remain tied with the Cowboys through three quarters, only lost by 7 points. You know, in the past, the Giants might have lost by double-digit scores. So they were able to stay toe-to-toe with two of the better teams. The Titans, of course, being the AFC top seed in the playoffs last year. A notable statistic, against the Cowboys, the Giants outrushed Dallas 6.7 yards per carry to 5.9 yards per carry. So again, you look at the stats and you see the Giants are hanging in. They're staying toe-to-toe with some of the better competition. Now, I get it. You know, the Giants have some really tough teams coming up, you know, starting with Green Bay on Sunday and then Baltimore after that. They still got to play the Eagles. We're sitting on top of the world right now a couple of times. That will give us a better indication of how far the Giants have come. But I think overall, the first 4 weeks of the season, we have to be happy with what we've seen with the Giants. They're not doing this but with smoke and mirrors, really. They're doing it through, you know, hard work, buying into the program, and just everybody taking ownership. And that's one of the things I liked about Brian Daboll's approach. When he came in, it wasn't his program. It wasn't Joe Shane's program. It was everybody's program. Everybody had an opportunity to have a piece of ownership in this program. And that's exactly what the players have responded to, because if they don't do what they're supposed to, they take it personally. They are buying into the program. So all those factors combined, and you have, like I said, you have them beating who they should beat and remaining competitive in every game so far. So can they keep that up? You know, every team has a clunker, obviously, along the way, but the idea is not to have a clunker week after week after week. So we will see if the Giants are able to keep that up. All right, coming up next, I have a couple more points that I want to talk about as part of this foundation. And still to come on the Locked On Giants podcast, we're going to talk about some areas that the Giants really need to improve in the next four or five games leading up to their bye week. So that's coming up right after this. Hey, business owners, as you gear up for the holiday season, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. Well, LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find those people that you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so that your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so that you can quickly prioritize who you like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. Post your job for free right now at linkedin.com/lockonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. I am Patricia Traina, and we're talking about things that the Giants have done to build the foundation of hopefully a winning program for years to come. And these are more big picture items, things that I think they can start to hang their hats on, if you will. And I've given you a couple items to start with. Before I go into the rest of the list, just real quick, tomorrow on the show, we have Crossover Thursday. Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers will join me. We'll break down Sunday's Giants-Packers game in London. And then the plan Friday is another live edition with Traina and Tana special here on the Locked On Giants podcast. And I'll give you a time once we set that up with the entertainers. So hope you will check out those two shows. All right, let's get back to the other couple of points that I've put down on my list as part of the foundation that Brian Daboll is building with this Giants team. One of the things I really, really love about this coaching staff is what a difference it has made. You know, I mentioned beating the teams they should, remaining competitive. And one of the ways the Giants have been able to do that is that Brian Daboll and his staff have been creative enough to overcome adversity. All right. So by that, I mean, they have injuries. Okay. So how can they compensate for the injuries? Case in point, the wide receivers, they're banged up. And what did they do? They went with the tight ends. The tight ends, you know, performing well, getting their opportunities and carrying the team. The offensive line had struggles against the pass rush, against Dallas, and maybe, you know, against Tennessee. You can make an argument for that. What do? They adjust. They roll the pocket. They move the pocket so that Daniel Jones or whoever is back there behind center has room to manipulate and maybe step up. There's been more twists on the defensive front, more stunts. Saquon has been, getting out into space. Basically, what this coaching staff has done is what every coaching staff says they're going to do, but not every coaching staff does. And that is they have found what these guys do well, and they have put them into position to do those things. They're not necessarily asking them to do things that these guys just can't execute. All right. Also, we can go back, you know, speaking of creativity, go back to the Bears game. You know, Daniel Jones goes down with an injury. Tyrod Taylor goes down with an injury. What do? Bring in Saquon. Let Saquon run the Wildcat for a couple plays until, you know, to kill some time off the clock until it's deemed possible that Daniel can go back under center and hand the ball off. Brilliant move. I mean, there was no punting or taking a knee, if you will, on third or fourth down like last year when the Giants did that, when all hope was lost. So give this coaching staff credit for resiliency, for creativity, and for not giving up. And you know what? When a coaching staff doesn't give up on you, when they say, okay, you know what? The chips are down, but we're going to find a way to get this done. That rubs off on the players. That makes the players believe that they can overcome adversity. On the contrary, when a coaching staff does like what last year's coaching staff did and basically throws in the white flag, guys start mailing it in. So credit to Daboll and his staff for being gutsy, for saying, okay, we're not going to go down without a fight, and for figuring out ways to get it done. And that's just been huge, really huge in the Giants, the beginning of the Giants turnaround. All right, I have one more item that I want to talk about, and that's staying true to core values. All right, so what do I mean by that? There's been no BS coming from Brian Daboll. He's what he says and what he does align. So for example, Daboll, like every other coach on the planet, says, I'm going to put guys in the best position for them to be successful. Well, then what do you see? Sometimes you see coaches, you know, say, okay, you know what? I want to do this. And maybe I don't have the personnel to do it exactly the way I want to, but I'm going to plug player A, B, and C into the roles, even though they're maybe not an exact fit. And I'm going to have them do what I want them to do. Last year, an example that comes to mind, Riley Dixon, the punter. Riley Dixon was asked to execute some different types of punts that just weren't his strength. And as a result, didn't really punt well. And I think it messed up his confidence and just, you know, I want to say ruined him, you know, because he had been so good for the Giants, and then he slid downhill once the coaching change came in. So that's an example that comes to mind. Now, you know, once a guy loses his confidence, and there are some guys that, you know, if you ask them to do something and they can't do it, they come down harder on themselves. They start to press. And that's not a good thing. So it boils down to the coaching staff knowing what they have, knowing what their strengths are, and kind of leading them in the right direction to execute those strengths. Okay. Another thing I like, keeping on the same vein, if you will, Dable looks after the players. So he doesn't push them too hard. If they're, you know, if he sees that they're tired or, you know, they've been logging a lot of time on the GPSs, when it comes to injuries, and this is a great example here, Daniel Jones suffers the ankle injury. And had Tyrod Taylor not gotten hurt, I can guarantee you Daniel Jones wouldn't have gone back in. All right. Basically, Dable told Jones, you're not going back in. I'm not taking any chances with you. So I think back to a couple years ago when Jones got hurt. I think he had a hamstring strain, if I'm not mistaken, missed the following week's game, fought to come back. The coaching staff decided they could live with the limitations that Jones had. And what happened against the Cardinals? Jones got the stuffing knocked out of him and he suffered a sprained ankle, a new injury on top of everything because he couldn't properly defend himself. Just, you know, that kind of decision is just, you know, beyond belief. I couldn't believe it then. To this day, I still can't believe that they did it. And I don't care how much Jones lobbied to play. At some point, the coach has to protect the guy from himself. Well, Dable has been doing that. You know, if a guy's injured and he just can't go back in and fend for himself, he's going to sit. So sometimes a coach has to just, you know, stand up and say, you know what? You're sitting because I need you for the long term. And it's not worth it to me to put you out there for the short term, especially if, you know, the game is in hand or the season that, you know, is over, you know, theoretically speaking. So Dable has done a good job of that, of, you know, protecting the players. And by the way, speaking of protecting the players, another thing he's done that I really like, he doesn't attach expectations to anybody. So you ask him, okay, coach, what do you need Daniel Jones to show you to convince that he's your franchise quarterback moving forward? He doesn't give you numbers. Doesn't give you any expectations. He just basically speaks in general terms. You ask him, hey, coach, when is Leonard Williams going to return from his injury? What's the timetable? Oh, he's day to day. Okay, that might be annoying to hear it over and over again, but just imagine if he said, oh, Leonard Williams will be back in 3 weeks, and then 3 weeks comes and goes, and Leonard Williams isn't back. So now how does that make Dable look? Like he's out of touch, or, you know, maybe the medical staff misled him or something like that. So in his own way, by not attaching any kind of, you know, expectations on injured guys or statistics on the players he has, Dable's protecting them and taking some of the pressure off of them on top of everything so that they don't press to where now they're rushing back before they're ready, or they're pressing so hard that they just aren't doing the things that they do well. So that's a key thing as well. All right, coming up next, I wrote down a few statistics from the first four games that the Giants, I would like to see them improve the rest of the season. And, you know, part of these statistics, they don't have the playmakers involved, but I'm going to mention them anyway. So stick around. We'll get to those right after this. Hey, Giant fans, BetOnline is the only place that offers the best information on the latest odds, contests, and player props for all your sports betting needs. No matter what sport you're into, BetOnline has you covered. Plus, they offer everything you need to know for live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head on over to BetOnline today to learn more about the trends and the action. BetOnline, where the games start. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. I am your host, Patricia Traina. Want to thank you for tuning in, as always. And again, don't forget, tomorrow on the Locked On Giants podcast, we have the crossover show with Peter Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers. We're going to give you everything you need to know, the key storylines, the key matchups, all you need to know to get you ready for the weekend game in London, Packers versus the Giants. Then on Friday, It's Trina and Tana edition on the Locked On Giants podcast live show. We'll talk about the state of the Giants. We'll take your questions. You know, basically, we'll have a grand old time like we have been doing every Friday. So hope to see you at the live show. I'll post details on YouTube as to when you can expect to see that show, and hope we see you there. All right. I want to talk now about some statistics that I'd like to see the Giants improve. These are stats that they just really haven't gotten off on the right foot, in my opinion. And if this team wants to be competitive, they're going to really have to push up the effort in these stats. All right. First one, obviously, red zone. It seems like forever the Giants have been a red zone, have had problems in the red zone, or what I call the dead zone for the Giants. This year so far, the Giants are converting 50% of their red zone visits, 4 of 8. Got to get them higher, guys. You know, I say it every time on Twitter, when the Giants settle for a field goal, field goals ain't going to cut it. So, you know, hopefully, you know, if it's a matter of the Giants just don't have the personnel, or maybe they need to be even more creative. I don't know what the story is, but the Giants got to do better in the red zone, obviously. 0 is the next number, as in no interceptions by the defense. If I'm not mistaken, through 4 weeks, the Giants are the only team in the NFL without an interception, which is just wild if you think about it. They've come close a few times, but just haven't been able to haul that in. So hopefully that's a stat that they start to build up. Third down conversion is the next thing. The Giants have converted 32% of their third down attempts. They're 17 of 53. Got to get that up, obviously. Ideally, you'd like to see the team not even have to worry about third down. But 17 of 53, that's not going to cut it, folks. Not at all. And then obviously we could talk about the passing game. The Giants have yet to pass for over 200 yards. And, you know, the good news is the running game has been carrying the offense. We can all agree on that, I think. But the thing the Giants have to be careful of is that they don't become one-dimensional, because the moment they do, that's when things are going to fall apart. So hopefully the Giants figure out a way to loosen up this passing game. And I realize, look, they're having problems with receivers. I get that. But gosh, somebody's got to step up and make a play. You know, at this point, you know, I'm not expecting somebody to be what we all thought we were getting in Kenny Golladay. And that includes Golladay, by the way, who it looks like is going to miss some time with a knee injury. But the Giants have got to start making plays at the receiver level. You know, we saw drop passes. We see guys not getting open or separating. That's all got to be fixed. And is it a point, like I said, where the Giants just, you know, they are what they are with receivers? Probably. But, you know, maybe the coaches can do some stuff to help, you know, scheme guys open, or I don't know. There's got to be something they could do, because you're not going to win very many games if you only pass for 200 yards. And especially if teams start to really key in on your running game and load up the box and dare you to beat you with your arm, it's not going to happen. So that's the list of stats I have. Now, real quick, before we call it a show, some news from Tuesday. The Giants put cornerback Aaron Robinson on IR. So that means he's going to have to miss 4 games. Robinson had the knee injury. The Giants now have an opening on their roster. So basically, they didn't sign anybody as I record this. They did work out a bunch of quarterbacks. Brian Lewerke, A.J. McCarron, Jake Fromm, I think, were among the workouts, the quarterbacks that were worked out. The Giants waiting to see how Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor respond to treatment. If somebody needs to be signed, my guess is the Giants probably told whoever it is they are thinking of signing to hang around in the area overnight And depending on, you know, how Jones and Tyrod Taylor are in the morning on Wednesday, if they haven't made progress, I think that's when you'll see a signing. And that signing will probably be to the practice squad, I would think. Davis Webb, I fully expect him to take a lot of the reps this week in practice. So we'll just see how that goes. Right now, if I had to take a guess, I'm not so sure Tyrod Taylor is going to be ready for Sunday. I know Daniel is going to do everything he can to be ready. But as of right now, Tuesday night, if you said to me, is he going to play? I would say probably not. But let's see what the injury report says. You know, that's what I really, you know, go by. If I see Daniel Jones hasn't practiced, he's not going to play. It's that simple. You know, even though he's played a lot of football, if there's one thing that Brian Daboll has been consistent with, it's that if you don't practice, you don't play that week. And it's not a punishment thing. It's just simply a matter of, you know, mental reps will only take you so far. So I would be surprised if Daniel Jones goes the whole week without practicing and then plays in Sunday's game. I think, you know, Davis Webb, like I said, is probably going to get the call up, but we'll see. It's still early in the week. Anything can happen. Wouldn't be the first time Daniel Jones came back and played off of an injury, you know, after initially looking like he wouldn't be able to play. So we'll see what happens on that. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us on today's Locked On Giants podcast. I want to thank you, as always, for tuning in, making us your first listen of the day, or if you watch on YouTube, your first watch of the day. So now that you have finished watching the Locked On Giants podcast, make your second listen the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you tomorrow for the crossover show with Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers. Until then, have a great day, everybody.